Welcome to the deep dive. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today because we have a stack of breaking coverage from Barcelona,
Oh, yeah.
and it fundamentally shifts how we need to think about mobile technology. So settle in, because the dust has just settled on the Mobile World Congress, MWC 2026.
The big one.
Right. And the takeaways from our sources are incredibly compelling. Industry insiders are officially calling this the Silicon Valley earthquake.
Which is a bold title, but honestly, it fits.
It really does. If you've been feeling like the tech industry has spent the last, I don't know, few years just handing us the same flat glass rectangles with slightly faster chips and a heftier price tag.
Which a lot of people have.
Exactly. Well, the consensus from the floor in Barcelona is that the era of the boring smartphone is definitively over.
It's completely dead.
So our mission today is to sift through the most ambitious hardware reveals from this event and understand exactly how this translates to the devices you carry every single day.
It is a significant pivot. And to really grasp the magnitude of what's happening, I think we need to view it against the backdrop of the last half decade.
Okay, set the stage for us.
Right, so for the past 5 years or so, consumer tech innovation has been overwhelmingly software-centric.
Totally. All software.
Watch the explosion of cloud-based AI, large language models, generative art. But all that heavy lifting was happening on server farms halfway across the country.
Just beaming the end result down to your screen.
Precisely. The undeniable shift, documented across all our MWC 2026 coverage, is that artificial intelligence is finally moving out of the cloud and embedding itself directly into the physical hardware.
Meaning it's right there in your hand.
Yes. We're looking at the dawn of Go Everywhere AI. It is no longer just a chatbot contained within an app. The intelligence is driving the actual mechanical engineering of the device.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because if we are talking about AI breaking out of the software jail and moving into the physical realm, we have to start with the most unorthodox device in our source stack.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
The Honor robot phone.
Yeah.
Our sources describe this not as a passive communication tool, but as a device that is actively alive, listening, and watching.
Which sounds a little sci-fi.
Very sci-fi. Honor gave their onboard AI a physical body. The centerpiece is a 50-megapixel motorized pop-up camera equipped with what they call intelligent 3D space tracking.
Right.
So imagine you are on a video call, pacing around your kitchen or walking across your office. Instead of propping the phone up against a coffee mug and hoping you stay in frame,
Which never works.
right, it never works. But with this, the camera physically deploys and swivels to track your movement around the room.
What's fascinating here is the underlying architecture making that spatial awareness possible.
The software behind the physical movement.
Exactly. We see the integration of vision language models, or VLMs. For a long time, object tracking was fairly rudimentary.
Just looking for contrast changes or a basic face shape, right?
Yes. A VLM, however, doesn't just see a cluster of moving pixels. It analyzes the live feed and understands the spatial context of the entire room.
Wow.
It knows that you are a person walking behind a kitchen island holding a cup. When you give a vision language model a physical mechanism to control, you bridge a massive gap between digital processing and physical reality.
So it's actively participating.
Right. It's the core definition of embodied AI. The device is observing its environment and initiating physical action based on that context.
And you know, it goes a step further than just tracking your pacing, too.
Oh, yeah, the empathy feature.
Yes. The notes detail a feature called the Empathy and Emotional Voice Engine. The onboard AI constantly analyzes your facial expressions and the tonal inflection of your voice.
It's wild.
It is. If you are frustrated or maybe laughing about something, the pop-up camera will actually nod or shake its head in response to you.
Physically move.
Physically moving? It is using physical, robotic gestures to communicate empathy. You are venting about a long day, and your phone gives you this little mechanical nod of solidarity. It is a wild concept.
It is certainly a clever application of human-computer interaction. It taps into our hardwired response to physical social cues.
But there's always a but.
Always. Let's step back and look at the underlying mechanics here, because I have some serious reservations.
The durability.
Exactly. Introducing complex physical movement into a device that lives in your pocket is highly problematic. The source material rightfully points out that this is an engineering nightmare.
Right. The golden rule of mobile tech has always been that moving parts eventually fail.
Without fail, they fail.
You have dust, lint, keys, accidental drops, basically the natural enemies of anything motorized.
Precisely. The durability claims always look great in a press release. Honor states the motorized hinge mechanism is rated for 300,000 actuations.
Which sounds like a lot.
On paper, that implies years of reliable use. But those numbers are generated in a sterile laboratory environment.
Right, not a lint-filled pocket.
The real world is not a controlled test chamber. I am highly skeptical that a delicate motorized pop-up camera won't suffer from the same grit and mechanical fatigue that plagued early sliding phones or the first generation of foldables.
It's a huge risk.
The friction here is whether the novelty of having a spatially aware gesturing robot on your desk outweighs the sheer fragility of those tiny motors.
That is a very fair point. It's a staggering engineering challenge, but it certainly breaks the mold of the static glass slab.
It definitely does that.
Now, dealing with the power draw of moving parts and complex AI brings us to our next major reveal. If we're talking about engineering feats, Lenovo brought an absolute shapeshifter to the floor.
The Legion Go Fold.
Let me introduce you to the Lenovo Legion Go Fold. To use a real-world analogy, think of this as the ultimate Swiss Army knife for the power user.
It really is.
The coverage refers to it as the holy matrimony of Windows gaming and foldable screens.
And it is a matrimony that the industry has been chasing for a long time. But thermal constraints have always stood in the way.
Too much heat.
Way too much heat. Running a full Windows operating system under heavy load requires substantial cooling. Putting that kind of heat generation inside a folding chassis is exceptionally difficult to execute.
Yet they seem to have done it, and the form factor is stunning. Looking at the specs, it features an 11.5-inch foldable PoLED canvas.
The PoLED is key there.
Right. For those tracking the screen tech, that plastic OLED material is crucial because the plastic substrate is what allows the screen to bend repeatedly without shattering like traditional glass.
Right.
Because of that flexibility, Lenovo designed it to operate in four distinct modes.
Let's hear them.
First, you have the classic handheld mode for straightforward gaming.
Makes sense.
Then there is the foldable dual screen mode, kind of reminiscent of a Nintendo DS where you might have your primary workspace on the top half and your reference materials on the bottom.
Very practical.
Third is monitor mode, where you unfold the entire 11.5 inches, prop it on its kickstand, and detach the side controllers to work or play from a distance.
I love that one.
And finally, sub-notebook mode utilizes the bottom half as a keyboard for traditional productivity.
Which brings up the most critical question regarding this device. Why is this only happening now?
Right.
Why didn't we see an 11.5-inch foldable PC a few years ago?
Because the chips just couldn't handle the heat.
Exactly. The answer, highlighted in our sources, rests entirely on the Intel Lunar Lake architecture, specifically the Core Ultra 7 200V. This represents a fundamental architectural shift. The historical bottleneck for high-performance mobile computing wasn't just processing power, it was thermal headroom.
Because older chips just ran too hot.
Previous generations of high-end mobile chips generated far too much heat to be enclosed in a thin, flexible chassis. The device would throttle its performance to keep from overheating.
I'm looking at the power specs here, and they managed to integrate a 60-watt-hour battery into this folding chassis.
Which is massive.
How do you push high frame rates on a device this thin without it becoming a molten piece of plastic in your hands?
That is the magic of the Lunar Lake chips. Wow. Intel fundamentally restructured how the processor handles power distribution and memory allocation.
How so?
By integrating the memory directly onto the processor package and optimizing the efficiency cores, they drastically reduce the energy required to move data around.
And less energy means less heat.
Less wasted energy means less heat generated. Combine that incredibly efficient thermal profile with a hefty 60-watt-hour battery, and you have a device that can maintain sustained heavy computational loads without aggressive thermal throttling.
It's incredible.
They have effectively bridged the gap between a portable console, a heavy-duty PC, and a large-format tablet.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Lenovo wasn't the only one redefining the physical limits of hardware.
No, they weren't.
Honor is back on the board with the Magic V6, and Xiaomi showcased a camera system that is actively threatening the dedicated photography market.
Let's talk about the Magic V6.
Let's look at it first, because I am looking at these notes, and the numbers seem almost contradictory.
They do sound impossible.
Right. It is officially the world's thinnest foldable. Yet inside this razor-thin profile, they have packed a 5,000 milliamp hour battery.
Huge.
It is running the new Snapdragon 8 Gen 5 Elite Core. It features diamond shield glass. It even has an IPX8 water resistance rating tested for 500,000 volts.
That's 500,000 volts.
Insane. But the detail that jumps out to me is the cooling. It utilizes a vapor chamber.
Yes.
How on earth do you fit a functioning vapor chamber inside a device thinner than a pencil?
It requires an incredibly sophisticated approach to thermal dynamics. A vapor chamber isn't just a piece of metal. It is a sealed, flat vacuum vessel containing a small amount of liquid.
Okay.
When the Snapdragon processor heats up, that liquid vaporizes, absorbing the heat. The vapor travels to the cooler areas of the chamber, condenses back into a liquid, and returns to the heat source via capillary action through a microscopic internal wick.
That sounds like actual magic.
Engineering that phase change cooling cycle inside a chassis that is only a few millimeters thick.
And flexible.
And flexible. It is a staggering achievement.
And the battery, 5,000 milliamp hours used to require a device the size of a brick.
That is where the shift to silicon carbon battery technology becomes the unsung hero of this entire generation of devices.
Tell me more about that.
Traditionally, lithium-ion batteries used graphite for their anodes. The limitation is that graphite can only hold a certain number of lithium ions. Silicon, chemically speaking, can hold roughly 10 times more lithium ions than graphite.
So why haven't we been using silicon this whole time?
Because when silicon absorbs that much lithium, it expands dramatically, up to 300%, and it quickly shatters, destroying the battery.
Oh, wow.
The breakthrough we are seeing in devices like the Magic V6 is the development of stable carbon matrices that contain the silicon, allowing it to expand and contract safely.
So it holds it together.
Exactly. This material science breakthrough yields a substantially higher energy density. You get all the power of a flagship battery in a fraction of the physical footprint.
That's huge for foldables.
The durability issues that plagued early foldables are being solved at the molecular level with these advanced alloys and coatings like the diamond shield glass.
That durability is paramount, particularly when we start looking at the optics packages these companies are carrying. Which brings us to our final source topic, the Xiaomi 17 Ultra.
The camera killer.
The headlines around this device are pulling no punches, referring to it as the definitive death of compact DSLR cameras.
It's a bold claim.
Xiaomi has engineered a 200 megapixel Lighthunter 900 sensor into this phone. This is a 1-inch type sensor, which is exceptionally large for mobile architecture.
Massive.
They are also maintaining their strategic partnership with Leica Optics for the lens tuning.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the Xiaomi 17 Ultra represents a profound departure from the prevailing philosophy of mobile photography.
Well,
for years, the industry leaned entirely on computational photography. Because smartphones lacked the physical depth to house proper lenses, the software was forced to do the heavy lifting.
Fixing the photo after you take it.
Right. The AI would artificially blur the background to simulate depth of field, or digitally stitch multiple exposures together to fake dynamic range. It was essentially an algorithm guessing what the image should look like.
Oh, like the classic fake portrait mode where the software blurs out the edges of your glasses or your hair by mistake?
Exactly. It was a digital approximation of an optical reality. But what Xiaomi is doing with their moving lens systems is relying on genuine mechanical optical engineering.
Physical parts moving again.
Yes. The standout feature is the variable aperture that physically opens and closes, ranging from f1.6 to f4.0.
For the listener who might not be deep into photography jargon, how does that physical mechanism actually change the photo compared to a software filter?
Think of the aperture like the pupil of your eye. At f1.6, the mechanical blades open wide, dilating to let in a substantial amount of light. This is crucial for dark environments, but it also creates a genuine optical separation between your subject and the background. Real depth of field, not an AI blur.
A real optical blur.
Exactly. Then, at f4.0, the mechanism squints, narrowing the opening. This reduces the light, but brings everything in the frame, from the foreground to the distant horizon, into sharp, crisp focus.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
By utilizing a physical variable aperture alongside a massive 1-inch sensor, Xiaomi is controlling light exactly the way a professional DSLR does. The AI processing is still present, but instead of trying to invent a scene from poor optical data, it is enhancing a vastly superior, physically captured image.
It is incredibly refreshing to see actual physics and optics making a comeback over software approximation.
I agree completely.
So what does this all mean for you as you evaluate the technology in your own life? The overarching takeaway from this stack of MWC coverage is that the mobile landscape is undergoing a tactile renaissance.
A great way to put it.
Whether you are a power user utilizing an 11.5-inch foldable screen for intensive computing, a photographer leveraging true optical depth of field, or just someone searching for a more intuitive, embodied way to interact with your tech, the paradigm has shifted.
It really has.
Companies are fundamentally rethinking how our devices look, feel, and physically maneuver in our hands.
This raises an important question regarding the trajectory of consumer electronics. The dominant narrative out of Barcelona wasn't just about incremental bumps in processing speed.
Right.
It was a demonstration of hardware finally catching up to the ambitions of artificial intelligence.
They're finally in sync.
Yes. The physical constraints that historically held back software, thermal ceilings, battery density limitations, and optical physics are being dismantled by remarkable advancements in materials, science, and micromechanics.
And a new era?
We are moving out of the era of static displays and entering a period of true symbiosis between software intelligence and dynamic mechanical design.
And that symbiosis leaves us with a rather provocative thought to carry forward. We've spent this entire deep dive marveling at these mechanical breakthroughs. Motorized tracking hinges, complex liquid vapor cooling chambers, intricate physical camera apertures, and hinges rated for 500,000 actuations.
That's a lot of moving parts.
A ton of them. We are putting millions of tiny, highly complex moving parts into the pockets of the general public. As these devices inevitably age, break, or become obsolete, what happens to them?
That is the big question.
The recycling infrastructure for a static piece of glass and aluminum frame is already strained. How do we even begin to manage the e-waste of millions of microscopic motors, silicon carbon batteries, and sealed vapor chambers?
That's going to be tough.
It is an engineering marvel today, but it presents a staggering environmental puzzle for tomorrow, something to mull over the next time you upgrade your gear. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into MWC 2026. Keep exploring, stay curious, and we will catch you on the next one.